Welcome to this five-part devotional titled, What Happens Next? In this devotional, we're going to be talking about some of the experiences that happened after the resurrection of Jesus. All five parts will be posted to our social media, so check it out. We hope it encourages you and we hope it blesses you.
Hey, welcome. You have made it to day five of our five-day devotional. And I am so excited for what God has been able to do throughout this series. And I'm even more so excited for what God is going to do after this series and going forward in your life, because I'll tell you what we've been discussing is, you know, it's so great because it's so helpful for not just as we read about the disciples, but it's so helpful for day-to-day life. And I just think that some of the principles we've unlocked and uncovered, they're just going to help us as we move forward in our walk with Christ, no matter where you are. You know, maybe you've just recommitted your life to Christ. Maybe you're building a deeper relationship with Christ. Maybe you're just starting out in this thing, and congratulations for you. And I'm excited for all of you wherever you're at on this journey. But what I've loved so much is that we've been able to pull out some of these takeaways that we've been sharing that are so deep and fruitful for everyday life that I think God is just going to continue to work on us through some of these things that we've learned. And so what I'll say is that if you haven't been able to join us for all 5 days, or maybe you've missed a few days here, check out the rest of this series on our YouTube. You can check it out on our website, yourgrovechurch.org. And you can also download a guide that goes along with each day of this devotional. So you can pick up some of the takeaways and you can read those. You can share them. You can kind of preach them. You can, whatever you want to do, I would say they're there for you to kind of meditate on beyond just this 5-day devotional and beyond this journey that we've been on. So I'd love for you to share that. I'd love for you to actually go and download it and use it however you will. But I'm so thankful that we've had the opportunity to connect in this way and that we've been able to kind of dissect and really, really pick apart God's word and understand what it means for us. And, you know, that's kind of the major thing that I want to do with this series. And I hope we've been able to accomplish that, but really just try to pull apart some of these things that we read. And on the surface level, they tell us one thing, but beneath the surface, it gives us such a deeper revelation. Excuse me. And so I'm so glad that we've had the opportunity to connect in this way to do that. And I hope that, you know, this resonates with you. And I hope as you share it with others, it also resonates with them. Hey, so today is no different. We are looking at John chapter 21, verses 15 through 24. And we're really going deeper into this relationship and some of these occurrences that happened after the resurrection of Jesus with the disciples. And today what we're focusing on is we're actually focusing on Peter, who is, you know, one of my favorite Bible characters, just because Peter is so real. Peter reminds me of every single human who has fallen, but has gotten up and has tried it again and, you know, has had the strength and commitment to get back on and ride again. And so I love Peter and I love this exchange that he has with Jesus in John chapter 21, starting with verse 15. And in this exchange, there's one thing that we see on the surface, right? We see Jesus asking Peter, like, yo, do you love me? Like, I mean, for real, like, do you love me? And then he asks him a third time, like, yo, do you really, I mean, really love me? And, you know, it feels like Jesus is just trying to understand Peter's level of commitment. And that's there too. That is part of this exchange. But here's one of the things that we notice on the deeper surface. Two things. The first thing is that for every time that Peter denied Jesus as Jesus was making his way to the cross, Jesus asks him again, do you love me? So let me set it up for you, just in case you haven't read this far into the Gospels, or maybe you haven't had the chance to go through that part of the scripture yet, and that's okay. But what we find as Jesus is on his way to the cross, Peter actually denies having any involvement with Jesus. And so every time someone pointed Peter out in the crowd and said, yo, you were with Jesus, Peter denied him. And the Bible counts three times that Peter actually denies Jesus. So fast forward now to after the resurrection of Jesus. And Jesus is just asking Peter for the same amount of times that he denied him. He's asking him again, like, hey, do you love me? And again, this is like Jesus trying to see the level of Peter's commitment. So that's the first thing I think we notice is that the three times, so three for three, if you will. But then the second thing that we notice is that Jesus, the first two times that he asks Peter, hey, do you love me? Jesus uses a different word for love than how Peter responds to that. And here's what I mean. When Jesus asks Peter, hey, Peter, do you love me? Okay, great. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my lamb. Take care of my sheep. The first two times that Jesus says that, Jesus actually uses the word agape, which is like this committed love, right? And so here we are again talking about commitment between Jesus and Peter. But the way in which Peter responds to the love, Peter actually responds by saying, Lord, you know I am in love with you, in almost like this strong emotion. Peter uses the term phileo or philia type of love to respond to Jesus's agape love. And so I guess the best way to set this up is like Jesus saying, hey, do you love me? And you're responding saying with so much emotion and so much feeling, you know I love you. And so Jesus uses that type of love, and then Peter responds with a type of love. And then here's what Jesus does, because Jesus is such a, he's such a savage, for lack of a better word. But Jesus goes back to Peter and actually takes the word that Peter uses and uses it the third time he asks him. So the first two times Jesus is saying agape love, are you committed to me? The third time Jesus actually says, like, Peter, are you really strongly, emotionally in love with me? Jesus uses the same word that Peter uses the first two times in responding to Jesus's question. And so really what I see there is that Jesus is just really trying to get to this deeper level with Peter and really trying to understand what Peter's heart looks like. And here's why Peter gets so agitated, because Peter knows he has already identified. And if the resurrection didn't do it, Peter did it, earlier on by saying, man, you are the Son of God. And remember, Jesus says like, oh, only the Holy Spirit, only God could have revealed this to you. And so Peter knows who Jesus is. And so the reason why I think he gets so agitated when Jesus asks him three times, do you love me? Is because Peter knows who Jesus is. And so Jesus knows all things. And Peter even says it, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. But Jesus is really trying to get Peter to commit and really be honest about the love that he has. And here's why. Jesus never does anything for no reason. Everything that Jesus does in scripture has a purpose. Everything that Jesus says or Jesus is foreshadowing, every bit of it has a purpose. And our conversations with Jesus today and the conversation that Peter has with Jesus in John chapter 21 is no different. There is a reason Jesus is asking Peter over and over and over, do you love me? And here's the reason, because Jesus wanted Peter to take over and move forward with the work of Christ. If Peter wasn't able to really convince, if you will, and I don't even know if convince is the right word, but if Peter wasn't able to say without a shadow of a doubt, yes, Lord, you know I love you, strong emotion, committed love, all of that. If Peter wasn't able to do that, what would be the next step for him? And so I think Jesus was really trying to get Peter to understand, like, yo, if we are going to do this, you need to be fully committed. All that emotion you have is great, but are you going to be fully committed to the work that I am giving you the responsibility over? And so that is why Jesus asked him over and over and over, because he wanted to understand the level of commitment. And so even going forward after that, we see Peter just having this dialogue with Jesus. And then Peter, after this exchange with Jesus, has a moment where he starts worrying about John, and he starts worrying about John's purpose. And, you know, well, what's going to happen to John, or what's going to happen to him? Because Jesus responds and basically says, yo, If you're committed and all this emotion that you have is real, you are going to live and you are going to die for me. I'm telling you right now, you are going to face some trials and some tribulations. And by the end of your life, you're going to experience some things that you are not going to like practically. And so I just want you to understand what you're getting yourself into. And that's the type of conversation that Peter and Jesus has. But here's some takeaways that I'd love for us to really resonate and dive into. Three takeaways that I see in this text. And here's the first one. The first one is this: Jesus forgives and encourages us to move forward. I'll say that again. Jesus forgives and encourages us to move forward. This is what we see him doing with Peter. He is literally reinstating Peter and putting him back into this position of responsibility over his sheep and over his lamb. And the thing that we notice that's beneath the surface when Jesus is talking about feed my sheep, take care of my lamb, or feed my lamb and take care of my sheep, all of that stuff, what Jesus is really saying is like, Peter, you are going to be responsible for a diverse group of people. Like, you need to be able to handle all of these different types of people. So feed my sheep, take care of my sheep, feed my lamb. All of this stuff Jesus is saying, again, is not for no reason. He is really trying to get Peter to understand the responsibility and the weight of the responsibility that he is bestowing on him by reinstating him. But Jesus forgives Peter. Even though Peter denied him three times, Jesus is forgiving him. And not only that, but Jesus is also in this moment encouraging him to move forward. So he is having this dialogue, and there's a purpose because he really wants Peter to understand the next steps and how he's going to move forward. And so I love that. And I love that Jesus has this heart of forgiveness, so that even when we make a mistake, even when we do some things that we know don't please God, Jesus still forgives us. As long as we have the heart of repentance, and repentance really just means to turn back to God, as long as when we've made a mistake, we double back and have this decision to really repent and turn back around and go back and trust God again, Jesus will forgive us every single time. And not only that, but Jesus forgives us and he helps us to move forward. He encourages us to make forward progress. And that's what I love about Jesus. Here's the next takeaway that we find out of this text. Our lives should be given to follow and glorify Jesus. I'll say that again. Our lives should be given to follow and glorify Jesus. In this conversation with Peter, Jesus is telling him, and he is foreshadowing what Peter is going to experience. He's telling Peter, like, yo, you are about to die a death that you are not going to like for serving me. And so he's having this moment of really trying to get it through Peter's head, like, yo, this is the life that you're going to live. And so our lives should be given to follow and glorify Jesus. Following Jesus and living righteously, it's going to be a tough walk. And I'll tell you that straight up. I'll be completely honest and transparent with you. Following Jesus is a road. It is a journey. It is a marathon, not a sprint. And within that, you're going to experience some things that is going to test your patience. It's going to test your faith, frankly. It's going to test your commitment, to be honest. And so we have to make sure that we are giving our lives to follow Jesus and to live out this calling and this purpose that's on our lives. If you're in this space now, or you're on the fence where you're just not sure what it is God is calling you to do, just know that you are going to be giving up your life to follow Jesus. But here's the thing that I love that Jesus reminds us throughout scripture. When we give up our lives to follow Jesus, that is actually when we find our lives. And here's what that means. When you give up your desire to do what Jesus has called you to do, that's when you start living on purpose. That's when your life finds meaning, when you are serving the will of God. So we should absolutely be prepared to give our lives to follow Jesus. Here's the last takeaway I want to share on in this part of our devotional. Focus on your purpose and let God do the rest. Focus on your purpose and let God do the rest. Peter started getting distracted after Jesus had this conversation with him, and he was focusing on John, where Jesus was like, yo, don't worry about him. You need to worry about what I am calling you to do. Jesus was so real in this moment of like, what is it to you if I decide whether he lives or dies? It means nothing to you because it has nothing to do with you. You need to be worried about what I've put on your life and the call and the responsibility that you have. You have enough to worry about in a sense, and you don't need to worry about anyone else. Can I say and encourage you that that is the same thing that we ought to be focused on? We shouldn't be worried about what someone else is allowed to do or how someone else has been allowed to progress, even though they may not be a follower of Christ. You know, those kind of conversations we have about other people. We shouldn't be worried about other people. What we should be worried about is our purpose and what God has called us to do. Focus on your purpose and let God do the rest. Don't worry about what anyone else is doing. Don't worry about the talents and the gifts and the purpose that God has put on anyone else's life. Focus on what God has called you to do and let God worry about the rest. It will take so much stress off of you and so much worry off of your life when we are committed and we are focused on what God wants us to do. So, hey, I hope, like with all these devotionals, that this has encouraged you. I pray that your time in listening and hearing this word has been blessed. And I pray that you're not just hearers of the word, but you are doers of this word. And I just pray blessings over your family, over your life. And I just believe God's best for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thank you again for joining us for this devotional. Check us out on our social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook. Look for us on YouTube. Go to our website to see what's happening here at The Grove. We've got some exciting news coming down the line as far as interest meetings, team nights, and I'll just share right now, even some preview services that are going to be happening pretty soon here. So stay up to date with everything by following us. And again, I just pray that your day and your life is blessed.